I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. The scripture that was read, you may be thinking, well, it's Christmas is over. Why are we going all the way back to the birth narrative and hearing this story? Well, there's a reason. And that reason is a lot of people in recent times have passed away. And some of the things I hear when I go to visit people who know that their time is about to come are concerned about being remembered. Now, you've heard me, I've shared this story before in the past, but my dad had prostate cancer and was diagnosed in February of 91 and was told he had 6 months to a year. Well, he made it till 95 and he didn't have a bad day until May of 95, and from there on it was downhill. He passed away in November. But what he said to me during the previous 4 years up to that point is he would always take my hand and look at me and say, "I'm afraid I won't be remembered. I'm afraid that you kids, once I'm gone, will just forget me." And I said, "Dad, we're not going to forget you. You're our father." "Well, I want to be remembered." And I said, "Dad, you'll always be remembered." As I said, it's not just him. I've heard that from a lot of people. They feel like their time on earth is just going to be forgotten. And I know that that can be very scary. And it brings up the question, how do you want to be remembered? Do you even care if you're remembered? Do you worry about being remembered? Because you see, King Herod, I don't think he really thought about being remembered. But when he sent his soldiers out to kill children 2 years old and younger and slaughter them all, in that process, he ensured he would be forever remembered as a child slayer. That certainly qualifies as being remembered for all the wrong reasons. If we want to be remembered, I would think we would find good ways to be remembered, wouldn't we? Isn't that what we want to be remembered for? In our everyday lives, there are things we can do to ensure that we're remembered, and that we're remembered in a good light. Of course, some of us may find a creative way to be remembered. I guess there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's not bad. Creative is good. For example, I don't know if you ever heard this story, but there were these brothers, the Cohen brothers. And the Cohen brothers went to the Ford company back when Mr. Ford was running that company. And the Cohen brothers decided that they wanted to deal with Mr. Henry Ford on a product that they created. So they walk into Mr. Ford's office, and the first thing that they say is, "Hello, Mr. Ford, we have something for you, and we want you to be the one to take us up on our new invention." It was a hot day in August, and all three Cohen brothers, as they entered the office, they knew they were going to make a deal with Mr. Ford, who was the largest car dealer in the world at that time. And they said to him, "We have a remarkable invention that will revolutionize the automobile industry." And Ford looked skeptical. But he knew there was an underlying threat that they would take this invention to another car dealer, another car manufacturer. So he gave them the time. It piqued his interest, and he wanted to know what it is these three brothers had. And they said, "We would like to demonstrate it to you in person." So after talking for a while, they brought Mr. Ford outside and asked him to enter a black automobile parked in front of the building. "Norman Cohen," said Mr. Ford, "this is a car that we've put our invention in." Hyman Cohen, the middle brother, opened the door of the car and said, "Please step inside." "What?" Mr. Ford shouted. "Are you crazy? It must be 200 degrees in that car." "It is," smiled the youngest brother, Max. "But sit down, Mr. Ford, and push the white button." Intrigued, Ford pushed the button. All of a sudden, a whoosh of freezing air started blowing from all the vents all around, and within seconds, the automobile was not only comfortable, it was quite cool. "This is amazing," exclaimed Ford. "How much do you want for the patent?" Norman spoke up. "The price is $1 million. Then he paused. "And there is something else. The name Cohen Brothers Air Conditioning must be stamped right next to the Ford logo." Now, I don't know how many of you know the history of Henry Ford, but he was an infamous anti-Semitic. He wanted nothing to do with Jews. And he said, "Money is no problem, but there is no way I will have a Jewish name next to the logo on my cars." They haggled back and forth for a while, and finally they settled. $5 million, but the Cohen's last name would be left off. However, the first names of the Cohen brothers would be forever emblazoned upon the console of every Ford air conditioning system. And that is why, even today, whenever you enter a Ford vehicle, you will see those three names clearly printed on the air conditioning control panel: Norm, Hi, and Max. Oh boy. Now that is creative, is it not? I mean, that's creative. However, Jesus, I believe, gave us the best way to be remembered when he said, "Love one another as I loved you." When he said, "Help the poor, reach out to those who need help." Jesus says, if you want to be famous, if you want to be well known, if you're seeking something in life to be remembered by, be remembered as a good person. A life filled with love, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, and righteousness. I've attended many a funeral where folks speak of the deceased with such words: "She was a wonderful person. Never had a bad word to say about anyone. She was loving and giving, always kind. I know she is with our Lord and Savior." And I've heard men say, "He was a great guy. He was a man's man, a leader, always looked out for others, a man who would give you the shirt off his back." Is that a good way to be remembered? These people were and still are remembered, as my dad is. They have left their legacy, and there is an interesting thing about legacies. It is never too late to leave one as long as you're living and breathing. And I hear people when they get older and they say, "Oh, it's just too late." No, it's not. Is it too late to be a good person? Is it ever too late to reach out and help others? Is it ever too late to visit the sick, to help the poor, to reach out to the people around you in the congregation? Is it ever too late for that? 20 years ago, I was standing outside on the sidewalk of a church I was serving, and I was watching the people pull up. And as they pulled up and would get out of their cars, I'd shake their hands and welcome them to church. And I just happened to be looking down about 3 or 4 cars, and this man has his son in the car. The two of them get out, and the man's wearing a golf shirt. And the son is upset. And I can hear them talking. And the son says, "Why? Why do I have to go to church?" And the father replied, "When I was growing up, my daddy took me to church every Sunday, and you're going to church as well." The son looked at the dad standing there in the golf shirt getting ready to go play golf after dropping the son off, and he says, "It didn't do you much good, did it?" You see, that's the example. That's what we do. Kids watch us, and that's how they learn. Research has established that parents can have a significant impact on the religious beliefs and practices of their children. In one recent study, it was found fathers who frequently attended church at least 3 times per month and discuss religion at home and are committed to their religion have sons who follow the same pattern concerning religious values and behavior. Interestingly, fathers who do not do these things have had an inconsistent pattern of influence over their sons' religious responses. We are role models. Like it or not, adults are role models. When Caden is in this sanctuary and he sees what we're doing and how we're doing it, that influences him. And at his age right now, he wants to be baptized, and he will be. He's had great influence. Now, I believe most, if not all of you, would agree, we have people in this church who have been here most, if not all, of their lives. Jim Spears, I can throw that name out. We have people that have been in this church for a long, long time. And then you see their grandchildren, like Caden, coming and saying, "I want to be baptized." That's the legacy. I believe there are those who follow Christ because of the legacy someone or someones other than their parents or parent provided. Truth is, any one of us may have influence over someone to follow Christ, to attend church, to be involved in church, to be involved in mission. Any one of us can have that influence. Other than my parents, who had a great influence on me concerning my faith journey, I met many along the way who buffered that, who helped and supported that, and some of the most profound influences I had were in seminary. There was Dr. Charles F. Kemp, Dr. Hunter Beckelheimer, and Dr. Bill Longsworth. All three of those men had a great influence on me. They mentored, they encouraged, and they taught me what it means to be a servant of Christ. Am I perfected? Absolutely not. I'm still working on it. But thank God for people who have that kind of influence in our lives. Now, most of you may have heard this story. If you've ever seen the movie Braveheart, you may be familiar with part of this story. But hundreds of years ago, there was a king of Scotland, and his name was Robert the Bruce. Y'all remember that? Robert the Bruce. It was a good thing that he was both brave and wise, because the times in which he lived were wild and dangerous. The king of England was at war with him and had led many a great army into Scotland to drive him out of the land and to make Scotland part of England. Battle after battle he fought with England. 6 times Robert the Bruce had led his brave little army against his foes. 6 times his men had been beaten until finally they were driven into flight. At last, the army of Scotland was entirely scattered, and the king was forced to hide in the woods in a lonely place in the mountains. And he found a place in a cave, and he went into the cave. And he laid there, and he rested. And of course, he was scared. And he could hear the rain falling, and it was cold. But Robert the Bruce laid there, and he was thinking to himself, "We need to just give up. It's not worth the fight. I'm losing too many of my men, and I'm exhausted." But as he laid there, and this is a true story, as he laid there, he looked up, and above him was a spider. And the spider was trying to build a web. But this little spider, when it came down, tried to swing across to another side of the cave and string that web. Well, the spider tried and failed. The spider tried again and then failed. And Robert the Bruce is looking at this spider like, "You're never going to make it. Why do you keep doing that?" Spider tried again. That spider failed 5 times, and on the 6th try, made it across the cave. Robert the Bruce didn't know what to say, but he knew what was in his heart. He knew that the spider did not lose hope, and he had. So Robert the Bruce decided, I'm going to go back out there and I'm going to fight again because I'm not going to lose hope. He forgot all of his troubles. He became fascinated with the idea of putting out maximum effort one more time. So he arose and called his men together. He told them of his plans and sent them out with hopeful messages to cheer the discouraged people out in the countryside. Soon there was an army of brave men around him. A 7th battle was fought, and this time the King of England was forced to retreat back into his own country. It wasn't long before England recognized Scotland as an independent country with Robert the Bruce as its rightful king. And to this very day, the victory and independence of Scotland is traced to that spider that Robert the Bruce watched in that cave that gave him the faith and the encouragement to go forth and try again. Oftentimes we want to be remembered. If you want to be remembered, keep the faith. If you want to be remembered, keep trying. Don't let those around you, your children or your grandchildren, ever see you give up. Because God's at your side. And when you have God on your side, you've got everything. If a spider can be an encourager, can't we? Can't we encourage each other? Can't we encourage those around us? The Duke of Wellington, the British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, was not an easy man to serve under. He was brilliant, he was demanding, and not one to shower his subordinates with compliments. Yet even Wellington realized his methods left something to be desired. In his old age, a young lady asked him what, if anything, he would do differently if he had his life to live over again. Wellington thought for a moment, then replied, I'd give more praise. I'd give more praise. You want to be remembered? Be someone who gives more praise. Give your children praise, your grandchildren, your spouse, your siblings. Give them praise. How many times do we hear people really quick to tell you how messed up you are, but they don't give you praise? And you hear children who'll say, all my parent ever did is tell me how bad I was. I never got to hear about the good. We're followers of Jesus Christ, and in so being, we should be encouragers. We should be those building up. We should be those who want to be remembered as good followers of Jesus Christ. As I said, you want to be remembered? Give more praise. Be an encourager. Be an example of Christ's love, not Herod's insecurity. When we become insecure, bad things happen. And the scripture that Jim read for you tells you exactly what happens when you become insecure. You're out to hurt everybody because you want to make sure that your place in life is secure. Jesus made sure our place in life was secure. Oh, wait a minute. He made sure our place in life was secure, not His. That should be us. That's what we're called to do. Let us pray. Lord, all too often it's easy for us to find fault in others. It's easy to tell people how bad they are or what terrible things they do. But Lord, what a gift if we can be those who praise, if we can be those who lift up, if we can be those who encourage. What a wonderful way to be remembered. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may reach out to others, that we may praise others, that we may encourage others, and that in our passing, people will remember that we were true followers of yours. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.